This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey guys, it's Larry here from Game Dev Unchained, and I've got a very special announcement to make, and I couldn't do it alone. As always, I got to bring Brandon Pham with me. Brandon, you there?
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey guys, this is our episode 100, a very special episode, obviously. And before we play this week's episode, we want to pull you aside and talk about what's up.
So we've been making this podcast for almost 2 full years now, and we haven't asked for a dime or a penny or any sort of reciprocity for what we do. I'm not saying that to kind of warm up and butter you up, but I'm just going to be honest. It comes out of my pocket to host it on SoundCloud. And I think now we released 100 podcast episodes for free. You don't have to pay a thing for any of that good quality content. So, Brandon, what are we doing now for the good folks?
We created this podcast to help developers out there to unchain themselves, to either get into AAA, get out of AAA, go indie, get out of indie, become a better student. So what we're reaching out to do is that we wanted to expand, right? We really want to get out there, reach out to the community, and become better. And for us to get there, we're starting a Patreon.
Yeah, we have a couple of tiers. We have a very low-level, entry-level tier. In case you're like, hey, I like these guys, I'll give them a dollar. A dollar a month just shows your support, but we also have other custom tiers depending on where you feel like you would like to contribute towards our podcast. And essentially, it just goes like this. It costs us $15 a month to host this on SoundCloud. That's one thing that we would like to cover, but better audio equipment, also giving gifts away on the podcast, doing random raffles. There's a lot of things that we're developing just for the podcast, let alone what we're trying to turn Game Dev Unchained into in the long run. So if you like what we've been doing, if you get anything out of our podcast and you feel like kicking back just to help us make better content more frequently without the sacrifice, please consider contributing anything you can towards our podcast through Patreon. If it's a one-time, like, hey, I like you guys, I'll just give you this one-time payment. Or if you're interested in subscribing for some of the goodies and giveaways that we have every single month, you know we're consistent. Obviously, we've done 100 podcast episodes. Please see us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/GameDevUnchained. Brandon, did I leave anything out?
Well, I mean, we also have a spanking new website for everything Game Dev Unchained related. So if you are confused on where to find the Patreon or you just want to get to know us a little bit better, please visit our website that is officially up, www.gamedevunchained.com. Also, hey, as far as the Patreon, we are including the Discord membership, right, as part of the tiers. So this is a way for you to interact directly to us. Like, we're thinking of ways to incorporate your questions along with ours to talk to our guests, know ahead of time who we're bringing on, as well as just being able to participate instead of just being listeners.
Yeah.
So these are one of the ways that we're trying to grow our podcast, as we are trying to become more than just a podcast, as in trying to bring in our own voice and put our own little spin to it. So Game Dev Unchained is definitely one of those things that we're also lending a mic to our guests and developers out there. At the same time, we really want to grow the industry as a whole to make it self-aware of the issues and the positivity of what we know the industry is capable of.
Yeah. So if you support us, if you support the game industry, please feel free to see us either on our website, continue to listen to the podcast, tell people about the podcast. And most importantly, if you want to contribute financially towards what we're doing, again, please do that through Patreon. Other than that, why don't we just start the podcast, huh?
Let's get right into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all over the state, city, globe, world, intergalactic, however you'd like to get your podcast, wherever that happens to be, thank you for tuning in. This is Game Dev Unchained, the number one podcast for a game development lifestyle and just news and anything game development related, I guess. My name is Larry Charles, one half of the team, and Brandon asked me to invite a special guest to help us co-host this week. He is the two-time Tamagotchi World Champion Pet Raiser, Mr. Brandon Pham.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Watching my little digital pet pooing right now. This is Brandon Pham, welcoming our third unofficial, underappreciated Ray Graham. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Ray?
You done know I'm underappreciated. You already know this.
Dude, I don't think you're underappreciated. I just think we don't pay you enough. But we definitely
appreciate you. That's what I mean. We definitely underappreciate you in that way. Well, once you hear Ray, you know what that means. This is another episode of the Roundtable News. Yes. Again, this is opinions of us as individuals and not the company we work for. Please don't get us fired. All right, let's go ahead and get right into it. PUBG. This is all we've been hearing about in the gaming news. What the F? All right, what's going on over there?
Geez, Player Unknown's Battleground. Right, it's the mod that started off as like a Steam early access game that's now, even still in early access, blowing the F up. I think they've surpassed 7 million copies sold in early access. $29.99 price tag, something like that.
Yeah, it started off as like one of the developers from H1Z1 or something, right? Went off, a Korean company approached him. He decided to go with them because he had a better idea of how to do things. It started off with the King of the Hill, and now it's branched off as its own game. It's in early access forever, basically. 7 million copies. It's the number one Twitch.
Yeah.
At least for shooters, being watched out there. Like, everyone keeps talking about this game. I haven't personally played it. Ray seems like he played it a bit.
Oh, man.
And Larry has played it. So what's going on? What makes this game so different from everything else? We're game developers.
Right on the head right there by saying it's different than everything else.
I don't know if it's different from everything else.
Right, like, number one hater coming up. What's up?
I hear, I saw all the news, heard all the people talking about it, and everybody's having a blast playing it. And I'm like, oh man, I gotta check this out. It's the hot thing. Mm-hmm. You know, let me download this thing, and it's in early access. Cool. I'm down with playing early access games. You know, I understand that they're not finished and all this kind of stuff, right? It is probably by far the worst early access experience I've ever had with a video game. I'll explain exactly what happened, because it's hilarious, right? I even like the premise, like, because it's pretty much battle royale video game, right? Which that sounds dope, right? Mm-hmm. And so I played it, you know, got in there, was it some janky looking lobby, janky animations, lag all over the place. Cool, you know, still early. And then we parachute out of the airplane, right? And you see the vista and everything, you're parachuting out of the airplane. I'm parachuting for like 5-6 minutes. Right? And I'm like, what is going on here? Right? And okay, that's cool. I finally land, it's all good, finally land. Lag city, just moving around. Lag city, right? That's cool. Whatever. I find weapons. I find some clothes. Got gun stuff, right? I'm walking around. The circle's getting closer, right? So I gotta move to the center. I understand. Oh, this is very clear. I'm running. I'm like, oh man, I can't see nobody. People are dying. You know, the numbers are dwindling. The circle's getting closer, right? And then I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. Oh wait, now it's 10 minutes I'm playing, 15 minutes I'm playing. Haven't seen anything. All I've seen is crazy lag, right? Uh-huh. Then I hear something. I hear some rustling. Oh, somebody's close by. Turn a corner. Don't see anybody. Dude pops in. In front of my eyes, lag city, shoots me, kills me, and that was my first 20 minutes. and I'm like, oh, I just got killed by the worst lag in the world.
Dude, okay.
Yeah, I'll wait till this thing is finished. And then I never played it again. And I understand that people dig it, and I can see where the appeal is. And I've definitely seen videos where nobody has had such horrible lag. But my first my first experience, hell no.
That's enough.
Okay, can't
let's be fair though. Who's the servers lagging
provider? Let's start there.
Nah, dude. You know.
Let's rig Ram,
let's make
man.
Sure that we. Oh yeah, that's true.
He has the same internet connection as like Steve.
Whatever, dude.
Oh man.
I mean, and is it that laggy? Like every service like that?
It does have problems on specific servers, I guess. When
networking,
like there's times where people be like, "Oh, the servers are good, jump on." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like an actual.
It seems like their infrastructure is kind of building up along like with working. The game, right? I'm sure they're like, "Yeah,
just you know, too many
100,000 people will probably play 200,000. Oh, 4 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, they're working on their net code, right? Like because that's part of that problem is not just server issues. It's just straight up their net code is not ready, right?
Up to par. Yeah.
Yeah, that probably makes more sense.
Made by a bunch of Korean code.
Damn. What's up? What you trying to say?
No, Koreans are hot. Yeah, they're good. They're
why'd
good.
You even have
it's
to
just, say it's just like, I'm just going to, because I can say it.
And then I called out the whole country.
Well, I have not played before, but I have seen it. And I do agree with the appeal. I like the idea that you start off as 100 people dropped into a level and you just go rampaging, looking for weapons and looting and see who lasts. It's very appealing, except for the graphics, right? Art-wise, it's really lacking for me, right? It's like only one step up from Minecraft.
That's Brandon.
This is what I see, man.
Stops on his meter. It's Minecraft better than Minecraft. There's no green in between.
It looks terrible, all right? It does look terrible. It's not like stylistically, you know, appealing. It didn't even look like they tried.
The art is straight up bad. Yes.
Like they really did try to make it look good and clearly failed, right? So that was one of the, all right, you know, kind of thinking like Ray, okay, early access. Yep. I have yet to try. I still want to try it. It looks fun and appealing, but
all right, let me...
as a game, as a polished game, it's definitely not there yet.
I think we need to hear from Larry about
the appeal,
Larry, of the game. How you feel about
that, coach? Let me score some points for the home team,
design front.
So I play the game pretty regularly now and I actually enjoy the experience. So for me, I start with how I enjoy the experience. I don't have the lag issues, and I've played with friends, I've played solo, I've done squat, like I've done all the things that I feel like I could do to explore. Do I enjoy the game? And I actually do. The amount of combat that I have is minimal, but the amount of anticipation of combat, right, is where it's actually exciting. Fast. Because it's like every single decision that I make is critical to me being higher up on the survivor list or not, right? Like, should I go in this house or not? Should I turn left or not? Should I grab this versus that? Should I put on these stupid pants because they're a level better than what I'm wearing? And like my vanity, like I have to throw vanity out the window. Like I'm putting on the shit that's better. It's just fun because it's like everyone is grabbing shit and then running towards the middle. So every time you kill someone later on, they're just bringing you supplies to keep you going. You know what I mean? But it's fun because it's like that tension is just always there, especially if you can make it to like top 10. Then you're really like sweating and second guessing every single move that you make. It's a lot of fun, and it's the opposite of what I would have imagined was fun if someone gave me the design document. If they're like, all right, you know, it's a battle royale, 1 in 100 people, I'm like, okay, go on, that sounds great. There's miles of terrain and you may not even see anybody for 20 minutes. That's when I would probably stop you and say nah. But I think that's actually where the beauty of this experience comes from, is that the mind games that I play with myself are prolonged. And it's a lot of fun in that aspect. Is like, I hate to say it, unless you're that type of person, you may not enjoy it. But like, I actually do like the tension, the knowing like, if I peek through this window, is someone going to come? I'm going to lock down this area and hope no one comes from behind. You know what I mean? When you see a bullet whiz by and hit the dirt and it's from a long range weapon, you don't necessarily know where they are, but they can see you. Like that, it actually creates a lot of tension, and it's a lot of fun because you don't really get those same feelings from other games right now. Maybe Counter-Strike Go is probably the closest to how I feel about life and death in that game. But Overwatch, die, respawn, come back to it, right? Like Quake, die, respawn, come back to it. Unreal Tournament, die, respawn, come back to it. You value your life because you only get the one. Like it's
that one life and then watched the rest of it and spectate the rest is definitely coming back in a lot of games because it's been so much respawning since COD. But do you feel like the gameplay, as in the shooting mechanics and all that stuff, is that pretty sharp, or is it
the only
as clunky as it looks?
So the only thing that's good in the core loop is the shooting, and the shooting is just good enough. And I'll be honest. Mantling, running, transitioning from like prone to like all the like what do you call that? What is this? Like
action.
Locomotion?
What?
The locomotion.
Yeah, sorry, podcast audience. I'm like waving my hand around like everyone else. The locomotion in the game, I feel like it needs work. I understand it's Steam Early Access, but like given where it is now and how many copies they've sold, I haven't seen like major advancements in those areas. So I'm thinking that it's going to be around the same level of polish and detail throughout, even though they have a mantle system, I think, that just went in. Moving, not so great. It's not as polished as I've played in other games, I won't lie. But I'm playing it mainly because I know everyone has the same movement difficulties. Everyone has the same lag experiences. It's just fun to be in that environment and try your best, knowing that you only get the one shot and then you have to restart the game.
Yeah, like I just can't like and I understand people want and I understand people like the whole anticipation and the tension, right? And like for me, it's just like there's no anticipation or tension for me. I just want to play, man. I just want to shoot people, right? And in a world where there's Overwatch, in a world where I play Street Fighter, like I definitely don't have time to deal with that game in its current state, for sure. Right, that's just nonsense to deal with that stuff, right? Like I just wait till they finally release it. Maybe in 2 years when they polish it out, I'll give it another go, right? But you know, they got their money from me, you know. So
yeah. What's interesting is this game runs the risk of being old by the time, like, guys, we're finally launching. And it's like, I've already moved on.
Yep.
I feel like a dev team addition would help make the game better. I wouldn't be surprised a year from now, the same way H1Z1 spawned this game, that a new developer is looking at this potential and seeing all these problems and like, hey, we can make a better experience using the same concept and, you know, upgrade the graphics, upgrade the movement, upgrade the shooting, and bam. And just take over.
I am pretty sure there's a dev company right now that is already like, can do a better PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Of course.
It's probably being greenlit because of the numbers that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is throwing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll play that game. Straight up.
One versus
man, I'm watching it. I'm so interested, right? And we'll talk about watching the Twitch and stuff, but like, I can't get past the graphics, man. It's like CS 1.5.
It's not even that bad, dude.
But
it's not that bad. It's just bad art right now. And I think they will polish out the art. But yeah, like lighting, texturing, like a lot of it is just bad, right?
It's bad.
And also you have to understand, like, it's a huge ass streaming world, right? So like it's not going to be the highest fidelity, right? With 100 people running around,
100 players,
like, that's craziness, right? That's unheard of, right? So
play around with the textures,
dude. I guess my issue with the art is I feel like it's a little uninspired. The theme is hey, we're just throwing real people in like unsaturated environments.
Well, if you go for real and you're not a good artist, it just exposes yourself. Like, at least you can fake it with stylized art and you can keep the
concept. I just want to point out real quick that it's very easy to make a bad looking game in Unreal. Shock. I'm so shocked.
Pound sign. Shock. Fire.
It is in Unreal?
It's Unreal. It's Unreal. Yes,
it is. Which Unreal?
it's Unreal 4.
The basic template looks better than that.
It turns out you still need to have good art to make something. Yeah.
Right. You start out with a box and a planar ground that looks better than that. How do you reduce the default? All right.
I mean, Ray, well, you could probably speak on that in a second. I'm assuming because of the vastness and the streaming, like the same lighting, the same, you know, The materials can't have 40 steps. They can only have 2 or 3 steps.
They definitely go with a little bit lower fidelity because it's a streaming game, probably, right? And they're probably going to work on those, the optimization side of that later, right? Because it's early access, right? So I definitely expect it to look better later, for sure.
We'll see. Well, speaking of how people are playing so much of this game, the only thing that is competing with the playing is the watching. So it's one of those games on Twitch that is constantly being watched because it is entertaining, right? The tension and all that. You do see that. You see the player kind of freaking out every time they find something looting. Shouting out to Dr. Disrespect, one of the biggest Twitchers.
Yeah, everyone in the Slick Daddy
Twitch
Club.
Streamers. Yeah, Slick Daddy. So, you know, we used to work with this guy, and now he's like an awesome Twitch personality. But he got recently banned from that game for a little situation. Larry, why don't you go?
So I was, you know, doing my normal, like, 2:30 browse Kotaku for a minute or two. And the best joke I ever told.
Should be working, Larry. Anyway, go on. Okay, continue.
So I see the glasses and the mustache. And I was like, oh snap, there's Disrespect. So I go and check the article, and he had gotten banned from, like, a soft ban, right? Like a 24-hour ban, because he got into a quip with Player Unknown over Twitter. And I think it all stemmed from he's streaming, and it's obviously, if you know Dr. Disrespect, there's certain things that you would expect from, you know, the show. And I think the moment was they pulled to a vehicle. There was only room for 3, and his squad was 4. So he just looks at his squad, looks at the vehicle, looks at his squad, and kills a guy, right? And he's like, all right, let's roll out, you know? It's exactly what you're
saying. It's so funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome.
But that goes against the terms of service, which was, you know, you're not going to team kill if you're playing in a team game. And so then he goes to Twitter and is like, yo, this is some bullshit, man. Like, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the article up.
Well, I can quote it. I have it up, right? So Player Unknown responded with, if you break the rules in PUBG, no matter who you are, you're going to be having you're going to have a bad time. Dr. Disrespect promptly responded with, I'll break the rules anytime, anywhere I go, and look good doing it, right? That's personality.
Sounds about right.
PUBG responded to that, in my house, you follow the rules or you get the fuck out with a heart.
Damn, wait, he said get the fuck out?
Yeah, well, GTA.
Oh, okay.
And then later he threatened and then to kick Player Unknown's various body parts, provoking Player Unknown to divulge a few personal views on violence. And they responded with, suggesting violence is the best way to solve a disagreement is just wrong, even if you're just playing a character. Which is kind of what? Your whole game is about killing, yeah. All right, and surviving to the last person. It just seems very hypocritical that they're choosing a well-known personality to make an example of, and it feels a bit unfair because he's like the number one
dude
guy that is constantly advertising
exactly,
their game.
Exactly, the rate at which that game is growing from a Twitch audience. Who do you think is ushering it in, right? Billy Mike 308. Or the Slick Daddy Club, right? Like it's not it
right, right.
At the same time, right? It's their game, right?
No. I'm sorry. Right.
They can do whatever.
Yeah,
they
and
want.
It is kind of like I think the whole ability to kill your team if it's your team.
That's kind
it's of not fair. Though. Exactly. This is what I wanted to get at.
And the fact that
it's a dumb rule, man.
But no, it's a pretty good rule to not team kill. But it's kind of stupid that you have like. You have it in your terms of service, but then you can actually kill you. Like you actually have exactly. friendly fire.
Yeah, right? Turn it off. Exactly.
That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. If you're gonna get mad, like you put it in the game, right?
But that's
I'm
fine.
Playing the game.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like the whole point of the ban though seems like it was just the whole back and forth on Twitter, right? Got a little out of hand, right? And so then,
he was already banned. He was already banned
for it. Oh,
the ban happened for the time.
Yeah, and that was just the aftermath conversation.
What benefit is kind of weird. Team killing what benefit is friendly fire in the first place? Scarcity is everything in that game. You don't get 400 bullets when you pick up a gun.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, some people argue that friendly fire games actually encourage skill, right? Like you actually can't just spray and pray. You have to like know what you're doing and be cautious with your shots, right?
Scarcity does the same thing. When I have $10, yeah. I make sure that I stretch that $10 as far as possible. I promise you.
If you have- and especially in a battle royale, you know, you build friendship and whatever, but in the end, you have to end up as one person.
That's what I kind of heard.
It's like part of the strategy. I see this on Real World all the time. Yeah. Man, you build alliances and you break them.
That's the whole point. I thought I heard even in team mode, only one person can win, or is it the team wins?
I'll just go out on a limb and say the highest I've made it in team mode is team number like 17 or 18 out of I think 23. Mm-hmm. I haven't made it to the top.
Yeah, because I think somebody told me that you eventually you have to turn on your team, right? But I could be wrong.
Of course.
I could be wrong.
It sounds like Hunger Games. That's what happens.
I messed up in team room one dumb. Time. I think it's actually a pretty funny story. So I walk into this house, and I was like, I know that I'm late to this house because the door was open. So I was like, where would somebody likely be? And I said, they're probably going to be where you expect the loot to be. So I just bust open the door, and I just boom, boom, shotgun twice, kill the guy. And I was so happy that I was right. Like, I took my time looting his body because I knew that he could still see. Like, I was playing it like it was individual, but I was on a team this time. Not 4 seconds later, three people roll up into the room and just light it up. Just absolutely light it up. Because you can still spectate when you die.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's just bad animation. And that's what I see.
Wow.
Look at all this bad animation. Wow. Making Andromeda jealous.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Well, okay. Jeez. In the defense of this game and Minecraft, right? Like, both of the games are incredibly successful.
Minecraft is a style. This one just tried it and failed, and now they're just successful, right? That's the difference. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you know, they sold 7 million. Yeah. I hate the fact that they're kind of abusing their powers as, you know, owners of the game for stupid reasons, right? I feel like that kind of divides the community a bit with that. I don't understand that reason.
Soft ban. It was 24-hour ban.
Yeah.
No real big deal, honestly.
I honestly, though, I just want to reiterate one last time. Don't give me the tools and be mad that I used them. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I agree.
And the excuse of suggesting violence is not the best way to solve a disagreement. It's like suddenly you're a saint, right? you just told 100 people to kill each other to win the game. Yeah. All right. Anyways, that's the end of that. Well, I mean, since this game was made in Unreal, let's talk about an actual good-looking Unreal game, Fortnite. What happened to this? All right. So it sold 500. It finally came out. Yeah. It was announced
6 years ago.
How many years ago? 6 years ago. And it finally came out and it sold 500,000
copies. It wasn't six years ago.
6 years in development. But it's
because I think I was working at Apple when they announced it.
So maybe 3 years?
So it was like four years ago,
I think. But if you're using Unreal 4, you could actually like see, follow, and participate in the early beta and all the news and the updates for the game. So it's been known in like the dev community for a while.
Right.
But once they actually like put it out, it just poof.
Yeah. I'll say this. I picked it up and I'm kind of hooked. It's a good game.
Oh, really?
It's a good game.
It has, you know,
Epic still makes games.
It has some issues. Definitely I won't hate on the art because the art's good. It looks nice, right?
Yeah.
It ain't no Overwatch, but it looks really good. Right. But it has kind of the same kind of like Overwatchy Disney Pixar art style.
That Pixar kind of
And it's some cool effects, like when you're mining resources, like the walls and stuff, like kind of bounce and shake when you're hacking away. It's very cartoony, very fresh, you know. And the best part about it is the base building is well done. Just well done. You can build whatever you want, you can build whatever you want within reason, right? Mm-hmm. And have a pretty good set of tools to build some cool looking stuff, and then you know, and then the traps and everything is it's really good. microtransactions. So, free to play microtransactions. It is. I'm at the point now where I'm like, I'm getting to a level where I'm like, yeah, I can start seeing how this is the grind. The grind is starting to. You guys want me to drop loot, and the loot dropping just from normal play seems out of balance, right? They're calling it early access, so they're working on all these things, but it just seems all that seems out of whack right now.
So it's a free-to-play game, or you have to pay to play?
Well, right now it's an early access, so you have to pay like for a Founders Pack to play it.
Founders Pack?
So, which is basically, you're really paying for a bunch of in-game stuff, like currency and loot boxes and stuff like that, right? That help accelerate your progress through the game, right? So like with that, with one of those Founders Packs, like the first 10 levels like of your character is pretty much dirt easy cakewalk, and then you're like, oh, this game's kind of trash, right? But if you stick with it, right, like the game gets like significantly harder, and it's like, and then it's like, okay, I can see how I have to build the floor, and I gotta do the trash just right, and I gotta work with my teammates and different classes and all that. Like it actually gets much better later on, right? So, and I think it's like next year they plan on releasing it actual free to play, so you could just download it and play it, right?
I see.
But like, yeah, I don't know how well that's going to go with the people that have already bought the Founders Packs, going to be so far ahead of any noob coming in. So like, I don't know, but I think it's a pretty good game though. I dig
it. Is it a PvP, or do you play against just the AI?
No, yeah, it's PvE. And basically all the maps boil down to you drop in a map, you collect resources, right? Or you find hidden treasure boxes of loot, or you fight one-off monsters, you complete some quests that you have to do to get rewards. But it usually comes down to you find some location, you activate the location, you build a fort, and then enemies like kind of like a survival mode. Like zombie horde mode or whatever, like zombies come and you have to kill the zombies and protect the thing that you just activated. That's pretty much most of the missions. There's actually another mission where it's just you have to go to specific places and build specific towers out of a pattern. So there'd be a pattern and you have to build a tower that matches that pattern, right? But other than that, you know, most of the missions are activate a point, horde mode, rinse, repeat, right?
So I'm actually just impressed that they released it. Because Epic doesn't feel like they make games anymore.
Well, I hadn't seen any products from them in a while. And
there's Paragon.
You guys are taking shots of Paragon just like that?
There's Fortnite. Oh my God, Paragon. Bro, no one's playing Paragon.
Okay.
Let's be real.
I'm usually not the one to get negative, but me and the MOBA are like this, son. And Paragon, I feel like, is a shot too far to the left. It's just
hey man, you gotta shoot your shot. Like they've been on record. They said all the games they're gonna make from now on are gonna be free to play.
Yeah,
you know, so like you gotta shoot your shot. Which games are free to play? Oh, MOBAs are popular. Let's make a MOBA.
Yeah,
but Fortnite's actually kind of unique.
Pretty good.
Yeah, like how you said the player underground battlegrounds, whatever it is, player unknown battlegrounds,
PUBG.
Right?
PUBG.
PUBG, you said that Black was City, different. Yeah. Like Fortnite is actually different. Right? Like that's actually different,
and it looks good.
So wait,
they probably released it because PUBG is. They actually asked them to take the Unreal logo off, and they're like, "Don't."
Oh, wait, what? Oh, you just being salty. Oh man,
can you not play our logo in front of that?
No, but
we worked so hard.
And even though, even though Fortnite has like the record transactions, which is definitely not new. But like the gameplay itself is very.
So how does a microtransaction work? Is it pretty subtle or is it?
Hell no, dude, no.
How do they do it? What's
like you need? There's like four different types of currency, right? There's tons of currencies, right? Like so, you have your heroes. You have XP for your heroes. You have schematics, which is basically recipes for crafting weapons and traps. Those all have levels, right? Your heroes have levels. The schematics have levels, right? And different rarities: uncommon, common, epic, legendary, right? Just so you know, custom playbook stuff, right? And then you level up your stuff, and then you evolve it. And when you evolve, you need like a special. You need items to evolve it, and those items for evolving only come from loot drops. right? So you have to like farm the loot drops to get the item you need to evolve your guy, the guy that you like, or the schematics that you want to use to level up. And and loot boxes also drop schematics, right? And depending on the type of loot box, it'll drop better. You know, you drop real money for a bigger loot box, it'll give you a guaranteed legendary. It's all the popular stuff, right? And then they also have this notion of your base. And so there's survivors that are in your base on different teams, and the survivors give you stat boosts basically. And the survivors all have levels and rarities as well. And you have to level, and they have a different currency for leveling them up that you get from the loot boxes as well. You could also recycle ones that are duplicates or like, dude. There's
it feels like a job.
So much stuff in the game, right? But it's
that's good.
But it's exactly how most free-to-play mobile games work these days, right? So it's pretty much straight out of that playbook, right? With a really, really nice aesthetic and skin on it, right?
So, yeah, I do like the appeal. Yeah. I want to try that game when it's actually free.
Oh, yeah, and then those squads are called survivors, right? Because they're survivors of the apocalypse or whatever, and then you have lead survivors. That could lead the team, and you have to match their personalities, and you get extra bonuses. And dude, it's crazy! Damn. It's craziness. Yeah, it's built for you to grind and get stuff and recycle stuff and level up guys. That's good. And you know.
Well, it sounds like they took the full 4 years to develop that. It sounds like a lot of. It sounds deep. Right.
There's definitely strategies and how you do all this stuff, right? And then on top of it, there's actually a shooter and a brawler third person game in there as well.
Mm-hmm. So do they have every game nowadays, it feels like there's like a whole Twitch design to it, right? Is it aimed for spectator mode? Like is it made for watching?
People have definitely been streaming it. I don't know. I haven't been watching like how many people are actually watching and streaming, but it's it's definitely a game you could spectate for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that just segues into our next segment, man. Watching games. ESPN in particular. Larry, you want to run with this?
Yeah, so we're going to transition this into like the rise of esports as a viewable. You know, ESPN obviously is showing Street Fighter. I've heard showed like MOBAs. I'm assuming League of Legends, I think they've shown a couple of times. Activision is even getting in on esports. So the rise of esports is clear. But one of the things that needs to get worked out a little more is there's a story where a Street Fighter player was playing as like OG costume Cammy, which is pretty much like a bikini leotard kind of camouflage. Like she's got gloves and boots.
It's a dental floss. It's a dental floss.
She's got some dental floss going between the nether regions.
You gotta be flexible.
And so ESPN is like streaming this. And you know, like some of the animations in Street Fighter are quite gratuitous, I'll just say.
Yeah.
And so like you see this moment on camera where they like come up to a guy and tap him. They're like, hey, can you change your costume? Because like Pepsi just called and they don't want
to. That's too much.
We can't show a commercial on top of this sexualized content.
I've come on.
No, it's
ESPN.
I know it happened,
but like the argument is that
FCC. There's FCC rules, right? And like her whole.
Yeah. Rear, I guess I got
her whole rear end. Like if you play Street Fighter, like her whole rear end is out. Is out. Right? So,
right? It's called entertainment. Right?
And there's FCC.
Kids across America are logging on.
You can't be just showing that on ESPN just all willy-nilly, right? You just can't do that, right? and it's kind of interesting because it's actually that cross-section of, like, you know, video games and TV. Because, like, I always find it hilarious, right? When something like a video game related thing's coming on ESPN, I always go onto Twitter.
Yeah.
And I check the reactions, right? And there's like the gamer reactions, which is like, oh man, it's cool. It's on ESPN. Yeah. And then there's the regular sports watcher that is like, what the hell is this on ESPN? They're completely confused. They don't know what it is. And especially those people, you don't want to they ass out, right? Like,
it's a fighting
meal. Like, you can't have it. You can't have this. You can't have this, right? And so it's just like the sexualized outfits in, like, you know, Japanese games, meeting esports and meeting network television. It's crazy, man. Yeah, it's crazy.
What I don't understand about all this is, like, I feel like one, television, cable television, and just the idea of show at X time is dying out, right? Streaming television, Twitch, like the platforms that are already in existence for game viewership, they're getting plenty of attention, right? Like, I don't imagine that same content streaming on Twitch would have done worse than having a bunch of people on ESPN complain about it and call cable service providers saying WTF is this nonsense. Well, like, I don't even think ESPN wants a piece of that. I don't think they should. I think I'm actually happy that it's separate, because I think they have a more captive audience, since we're already used to going to Twitch. We're already somewhat used to going to YouTube Live, you know?
Dude.
You feel national television is not the move?
ESPN is going this way. We already know this, right?
Yeah.
Disney already told y'all.
They're doubling
already. Disney just told y'all 2 weeks ago where they're going, right? And ESPN's going to come along for a ride on that, right? So it's going to be, and ESPN's already started making the move. You know, they did all those layoffs. So they laid off, like, conventional TV personalities, right? Like, and they're moving towards
TV sucks,
and they're moving towards online and video content and mobile and all that. Like, they know where the future's at, they're moving that way.
Future. Yeah, but they're claiming that they're going towards the future, but still representing that future in their past.
And
they still got to show stuff on TV right now, and you know what I mean. Like,
I do agree with you, Larry. Like, it's like people who are using TV nowadays are to stream on a bigger screen from the computer, essentially, right? I mean, that's really what it is. I'm not trying to dial into cable and see like scheduled programs, right? It's just that whole idea of scheduled program is dead.
We don't have
I can't wait. I mean, unless it's Game of Thrones, like, I'm not waiting for anything, right?
It's like, I'm there for Game of Thrones, totally. I'm there for, like, you know, Insecure when it's on.
Insecure
is dope.
It's one of my favorite breakout shows.
Yeah.
There's very few shows nowadays where I'll actually wait for it to be premiered. But, like, you are right in how this idea that people are just going to wait for live television to happen before, you know, I just stream it onto my computer.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, like, man, if you don't mind me jumping in. Sorry to just jump
go
in.
Go for it.
You know, with all due respect of your personal life, and you don't have to answer this, but what were you doing yesterday at 8 p.m., right? Or you don't even have to answer that, but let me ask you this. Were you doing the same thing the next day at 8 p.m.? Were you at home on your couch ready? Exactly. We don't have lives anymore where it's like, oh, this is the TV time because I'm already home.
That is correct. No. That is very correct, man. Like, I don't model my life around a show. Like, I watch the show that I want to watch when I want to watch
DVR.
It's just more convenient.
You can also DVR that joint and just, like, watch it.
Yeah, DVR is such an old method. Oh, my God.
You still
what are you recording, dude?
Nowadays, you don't have to be home. You can be out on the street. You can stream. You stream straight from your
DVR. Or I just go on freaking Netflix and it's there, dude. It's not saved on my...
Is it on Netflix?
Well, what I've... everyone's making their own
Netflix. Do we want to talk about Netflix and the content problem?
All right, let's talk about Netflix, all right? Disney's breaking off. Netflix expects it. Every company has their own Netflix now, which is annoying. Mm-hmm. Because for the consumer, there's like 6-7 things you got to subscribe.
Here's the Warcraft problem. Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here's one thing that worries me about Netflix, right? Like, and I, you know, I'm all about Netflix. That's great shows, and the shows are amazing. And they just signed Shonda Rhimes, you know, which is a big move. I know Shonda Rhimes walking away with a bag full of cash.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
People are eating, and it's bad cash, right? But also, Netflix is in enormous amount of debt, right? Because creating content
willingly,
content is hard, right? So eventually, at some point, they have to become profitable, right? Because you can't just keep going into debt 24/7, right? So either the cost of it has to go up, or something, you know, something has to happen, right? Like they have to make money somehow, right?
Netflix could charge me $5 more, I would still pay.
man, they could charge me 10 more dollars.
Yeah,
seriously. Right. They have to make that move, but they also have to do it in a way where they don't end up losing. They don't lose subscribers either. Right. Yeah. And then there's companies like Disney, CBS. These dudes got real money, right? You know what I mean? And they could actually compete in this space, and they actually already have the content already.
Yeah.
And they figured out how to make the content profitable already, right? So it's a thing, right? It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, Disney is definitely a big player out of everyone that is kind of doing their own thing.
What's interesting is we might see Netflix get the blockbuster treatment, is what it sounds like.
Maybe.
What do you mean?
Well, because remember, Blockbuster, like, they had an opportunity to go digital, right?
I see.
And they didn't. And they laughed at Netflix, like, DVDs through the mail? Ha, ha, ha. And then streaming comes out and puts Blockbuster, like, completely on their ass. They tried to copy, but it was already too late.
Yeah. And I think, like, Netflix has a huge stable of IP, so maybe that. You know, that's actually worth something.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting to see how, like, 5 years from now, what all this looks like. Right?
I think Netflix needs to open up a free version that allows ads, like the regular TV experience. Because there's people who are think about it. Right, you can get Netflix for free if you watch with the ads, or just pay for it.
I hear you, but wow. Yeah. I think most people use Netflix to get away from the ads, and I think that's probably why you haven't seen ads on Netflix yet.
Yeah, but nothing happens to
for free, though.
Because they still use it to get away from the ads.
Yeah.
There's something to it, but maybe their, like, pride is too high. Because Hulu kind of does the same thing, but even when you do pay for it, like, it isn't till, like, the third tier where you don't get any ads.
Well, and also...
But no one talks about Hulu anymore.
Hulu's so cool. And also...
Hulu? Yeah, exactly.
But also, like, Netflix did try ads, but they were basically doing advertisements for their own shows.
Yeah.
And I think I saw one time when I was watching something, and I was like, this is annoying. Right. Their own shows, skip. Right? So,
have you ever paid yourself $10? Like, the shit doesn't work like that. You know? You gotta have other people pay you for that. Anyway.
Yeah.
What I will say is, like, I feel like Netflix is going to get, at most, like, they're the big one. They're the Spotify to me. And anything else that pops up is just going to be like Tidal. I'm going to rock it until I listen to the Kanye album, and then I jump.
You
just skip straight over Apple Music. Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Apple what? Who? People still use iPhones? What?
Bro, like, let's be real here. Like, holding down the top spot.
I'm gonna say it like this: Apple Music has more subscribers than Tidal. That's for damn sure.
Okay, all right.
Gotcha. Sure, fine. Fight for that second.
So where were we? How did we segue off of video games?
we're talking about Twitch and streaming.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'll segue back. Right? I do see the future of game purchasing or game rental with Netflix. Someday, maybe some company, what was that, Gamefly?
Genkai?
On Live.
I do see video games going that route one day, Like, Netflix, you know, the whole movie experience, people going to theaters, they're trying to rectify that. You were making fun of the selling your soul just for $10 a month to watch unlimited movies. Some people are fine with that. Even I'm, like, halfway fine with that. It's like, here, you can, I watch crappy movies because I can. Just take that data.
$10 a month is worth it. You go to the movies twice, you've already made 300%.
You already made your money.
Your movie Netflix habits. If you want 4K, you got to pay $14. But
yeah,
we're not there yet, right? We're still on the 480
1080p TV.
Need 4K in your life, man. Need 4K in your life.
Can't do it. Well, having that and talking about fighting for second and third place, Lumberyard is on GitHub. seeing that Larry and I aren't programming, why is this important? Why isn't this important?
Oh, man. It's important because it's more convenient for people that want to use the source code to get at it, right? Because it's on GitHub. And if you're like a programmer, you probably have a GitHub account. And also, it's also easier for Lumberyard to get pull requests, changes, fixes from the community into the engine, right? Because GitHub has built in a basically pull request, right? So you can clone the repository, do a change, and then say, hey, I want to make a pull request. You can pull from my repository back into the main line a certain fix for an issue, right? Or added feature enhancement, right? Unreal's been on GitHub forever now, right? Like since Unreal 4 became like open source kind of thing, right? I think, you know, it's a move, like people want access to the source code and they want it to be convenient, and GitHub is a tool tailor made for that, right? So yeah, so I think it's a big deal. They're trying to they're trying to get people to use it, that basically streamline that process again, fixes back in,
right? I mean, there's no contesting the fact that Lumberyard is a major player out of the engines. I mean, it's owned by Amazon, and Amazon doesn't quit till you die and your children die. But do you really do see developers outside of Amazon companies using Lumberyard?
Right now there's a game that's about to come out any day now that's using Lumberyard. That game goes by the name of Star Citizen. And
stop! Oh my god! I just told you that my children will die before I see people using Lumberyard.
No, there's
that game's never coming out, dude. That game epitomizes early player access forever. And it's not even playability.
Oh, making
it's
the not game is the business model. not the selling business. The game.
It hurts them to release that game, dude. Yeah. The money stops flowing in.
There's some other Lumberyard games, but I just.
What else is there outside
Amazon's doing Amazon first companies? Party Lumberyard games?
Yeah, but I mean, there's some third party ones, but I just don't know about them right now. Right, like Star Citizen is definitely the most high profile one. Right, but there's others, I believe.
Man, it's a hard, like, I know people working on stuff in Lumberyard right now, and like the stuff that I've seen is actually pretty good. Thing is, to the average consumer who like types in how to make games, right, or like I want to start making games, Unity and Unreal have all that SEO just locked up.
You know what
I mean?
But it's not just that too. Like if you
want, but even studios,
if you want to give somebody I want to learn how to make games and I want to use something that's easy, like you're not rolling to Unreal or Amazon for that. Those are very high tech and hard to penetrate tools to learn, right? Unity's easy to use though.
Very subtle segue there. I will agree. Lumberyard is a distant third though. Like it feels so clunky. I've used it a couple of times and I'm not an expert at it, but it was enough based off my experience of using the other two engines. Like what? No wonder you're going. No wonder you had to be bought out. It's like, I mean, the good thing is Amazon has its back, right? Amazon will live on forever.
Amazon,
and they're going to continue to make it better. But they already effed up with the name, man. We all know the greatest engines start with a U. They went with Lumberyard, right? They already broke the pattern.
What about CryEngine? Like, that's another thing too. It's kind of interesting.
What else is kind of interesting?
How CryEngine was a thing, like, you know, and it still is a thing, right? But how it seems like Lumberyard has kind of passed CryEngine for the mindshare, just off of the strength of Amazon.
It's the licensed. It's like, hey, let's borrow what you did and like just do a couple of changes, and then they get credit for it.
Yeah, it's basically CryEngine, right? With like some modifications, right? So it's crazy to me. It's weird.
I would say a lot of that, just from where I've been able to see, is there's a lot of visibility into anything Amazon and new, right? Like, oh, Amazon is doing games. So people interested in that then see Amazon buys Crytek engine to do Lumberyard, which is an extension of yada, yada, yada. So early on, that's how I found out about it, you know? I will say, I think Lumberyard, I don't have a whole lot of experience. I've been training in it to get up to speed, but like, I know that Unity and Unreal just do an incredible job and spend time and money and like lots of resources on helping people to learn the software. And I still feel like Lumberyard is in such an infancy state that maybe they can't concentrate as much on that because they're still trying to build out the product in general.
Well, I feel like they have the they have the ends and they're still figuring out the means, right? They have Twitch, they have Lumberyard. So, of course, every game they have, they're trying to integrate Twitch and make it fun to watch before probably fun to play, right? So I think at least with their first-party studios, they're figuring that issue. And, you know, they're too caught up with that to actually help the community and build it up to actually want to use it, right? I feel like that's going to be a lot of years, a lot of time before I'm like, oh, Lumberyard is a good option besides Unity or
Unreal. Yeah, and I think I think it's kind of telling to that. I don't think any first-party Amazon games have launched yet, right?
Not that I know of. It sucks to use. It's a terrible thing to use.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's, there's, you know, oh, you're building a new
problem
and you're building a game and you're integrating your services.
And you have a whole new team. Right? I'm sure all those teams are new and they're classic game development problems.
New team,
new teams,
engine being built, game being developed on engine that's constantly in transition.
And you have that Twitch designer. Is that a thing now? Right. Is there a designer just for Twitch who's just, well, esport designer?
Well, it's probably a designer that will think about spectating.
How to
spectate. How should the game be to facilitate spectating, right?
Sure. Which is like,
yep.
What are you doing in this room, brainstorming? I feel like there's places for that. Like, hey, we need to think about it. Have things in place so that it is a potential thing we do for spectating. But having day one thinking like that and having like how do we make this game fun to watch before we actually figure out how it's fun to actually play, it's kind of like counterintuitive. You're always constantly going to be in a battle if you're in the room with that person, because he's going to dictate what's fun. And it's like, no, fun takes time for me to, I don't know. At least that's what I see the problem with esports. If you have any game.
So our internet bandwidth and our console processing power may not be there yet for this to be a reality. But I think the big thing for Twitch is like all that people can do to kind of interact with the person who's streaming is just comment and subscribe or donate. Because those are like the only things where like the person will pull away from the screen, interact,
and say thank you.
So it's a very passive experience, right? Twitch Plays Pokemon is like a step up where like, oh, my chat is actually input, which is changing what I see on the screen. My idea for this was, I think it's like a step up in technology, is any game can render out 360 camera, right? So like you're constantly streaming 360 camera so that the user can just grab the screen and rotate it and look at different stuff while the person who's actually playing the game is streaming. So like, let's say you're playing Batman Arkham Asylum, right? If I just let go of the mouse, it shows me what you see, but at any moment I can grab the screen and like look in your game world, because your game is rendering out the whole 360 and then sending that, you know, image by image or however the streaming has to work. I'm not the tech guy behind it, but I can imagine, like, even though I'm not interacting with you in the game specifically, simply being able to just avert my attention to something differently in your environment would be more fun and more enjoyable than just sitting there and watching. Or if that's what I want to do, I can just do that too, you know?
Yeah, I would say that's a cool idea. That I would also say, is the game just a white box that you're playing in? Because it's...
Just sell the game.
Because that is, rendering all that would be like,
yeah, that's like,
impossible.
My disclaimer was bandwidth and processing power step
up. Yeah, processing power ain't nowhere near that right now.
I do want to see Amazon putting all that money and resource upgrading Twitch experience a bit, because from what I've seen, it's largely unchanged since they bought it, right? I feel like they're kind of lazy right now, man. Shouldn't they have like a Twitch 2.0 by now? Like just showing like the next level of e-spectating.
They're trying to course correct, in my opinion, right? Like I think they missed a big boat when they made all these people popular and famous, or they gave these people a platform to reach millions of people that were going to PayPal to send money to these people on Twitch, right? Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that was the missed boat right there. Right. Like regardless of you now being able to buy little graphical, I don't know what they call them, but like you can buy these like bits and you can like, oh, I'm going to send you some bits. So like there is an in Twitch currency now. But man, if there was one thing I bet they wish they could have like implemented a feature from day one, is like put money in Twitch to go directly to the person. We take 30% or whatever cut.
Like a retailer. Like,
oh, PayPal donate was like, oh God, I felt so bad.
Yeah, they missed.
PayPal's loving it though.
Yeah, they missed out on a lot of dough.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel Amazon, again, time is in their camp to figure this stuff out? Like, do you feel their contributions happening anytime soon? Like, they bought Twitch, they're trying to make first party games, taking CryEngine, taking the name, stamping their name on it. But have they made any game contributions worth talking about?
Well, the answer is
no, right?
Yeah, the answer is, but they did have, like, if you sign up for Amazon Prime, you got, like, some Twitch Prime thing where you could, you could be, like, a VIP member of, like, one channel or something like that for free or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember the details. And that's how into it I am. I can't remember the details at all.
So with your Amazon Prime membership, you do get one free subscription token per month for any one channel you want to watch on Twitch. Because now even Twitch streamers are like Netflix, where they can charge $4.99 for their content.
Right.
Which is like, holy shit, but whatever, you know?
Wow.
Hey, that's
I'm really behind, dude. I don't want
But here's the thing. Amazon having roots into Twitch, I will say, is a good move for Amazon, right? That's a long-term, very good move if they want to be in the games business. But I definitely think a couple of missteps happen as far as the game development side of the games business goes for them. I think they don't have a huge community of people behind them, nor do I see them actively like really trying to grow this community that's involved, right? So like that hurts, because there's not as many people going in, let alone learning, getting better, and then going off to make product. I definitely think, and I hate to say this because I have some personal friends who use Crytek and Lumberyard, but I don't know if acquiring Crytek to use their tech and to start their own engine based off of said tech was the move for a first time game studio like Amazon going into games. I would rather have seen them just make games using something else first and then get the feel of game development before they took on the task of using someone else's project, not knowing if it was a good buy or not, right? And then realizing that they bought a turd, I hate to say it. Like, at the time, I'll say at the time. Like, Lumberyard is way better than I think the Crytek that they probably got. And I'll give them that credit. Huge credit. Yeah,
there. Building but, engine from scratch is hard, man. Right? So, like, you gotta start somewhere. Like, it's really hard. And so, like, you know, you have to spend 2-3 years building tech, right?
But what I mean is, I'm sorry, I just want to clarify.
Be a game developer first.
Exactly. Before. It's like they have the money, so I hate that it's like a brute force, we'll just do it mentality, because
we're buying in.
It could be so much more efficient. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's their mentality with everything, though, right? Like, they're like, hey, we want to get into the grocery business and really blow that up.
Whole Foods.
Buy Whole Foods. Like, that's how they roll, right? It's just aggressive,
so much aggressive money.
Moves, right? Like 24/7.
So much money. Yeah, Amazon, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow later they're not, it's funny, right? We talk about Disney and stuff, and we won't spend too much time on it, but how Netflix and all these other things are kind of coming with their own service, but Amazon's just cruising along with their Prime membership that includes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's really seeing them as a competitor, really, right? It's not really.
Yeah.
But one last topic, right? We're closing in on an hour. I just want to finish it off with this one. It's worth talking about. We made fun of it a year ago. We might make fun of it right now, but No Man's Sky has completed 1 year after release, and people are still giving hope that it's going to make it, right? Yeah. Have you guys checked this out?
So I saw they added like somewhat of a multiplayer to their game.
Yes.
Yeah. It made it 1 year possible later, yes. For two people to be in the same space. So
congratulations. By
technicality, I'll say like, yes, there's more than one player interacting in the game world together.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it pride at this point? You think for the developer?
No.
Is it pride just keeping going,
it's
loyal service?
It's they're being contrite. They're winning back people's trust, right? Mm-hmm. And they spent another year after the game is shipped, mm-hmm. after people have bought it, after they've already taken all your money, and they spent another year for free.
Mm-hmm.
In quotes, and they've added more features to the game.
Yeah.
And
I'll commend them for that, 100%.
And some of it might not be multiplayer. Like multiplayer still out there. Let's be real, right? Yeah. But no, they've added a ton of stuff over the last year, right? For free, and the game is a much better game now. I have to try it. I haven't played it since the beginning, right?
I've been hearing it's a better game.
Right? And it's a much, people say it's a much better game, and I believe that if you added all those things and cleaned up all those things, that it would be a much better game. You know, like they have fast travel now for Grand Theft Auto, right? So which is like, okay, cool, right? So
that's cool, yeah.
I don't want to take too many shots. You know, they're out here working for free, basically. And some people are going to be like, well, they already got all this money. They should be doing it for free. But they don't have to. They could have just shipped it and been out.
They should have just left.
You know, and been like, the game's done. We're out, right? So so the fact that they're doing this labor of love, you can tell. Like, they actually care. So that's my 2 cents.
I'll say it is commendable, right? Yeah. Like, when I go to McDonald's and spend $15, I get $15 worth of food. But when that extra cheeseburger is in there, right, you know, you're like, yo, like, for real? Like, I look back at the guy and he's like, yeah, for real, homie. And I drive away. Right? Like, it's that matters.
Get the extra cheese.
So, yeah, that's fair point.
Yeah. Well, let's just end it with small developers. Stop making procedurally generated worlds. It's retarded.
Right? But I just want to put it on record. I think from day one, I told y'all, don't get your hopes up. Didn't I tell y'all from day one, don't get your hopes up? Was I not right?
You're going to have to find that right excerpt. We're going to find that excerpt, Larry, and just play it.
Because I seem to remember
Larry. I feel like we talked about it. I seem to
remember Larry was hyped. And then I was like, bro,
all right, we definitely have to find the next step and play it at the end of the episode.
I'm sure you were. And I was like, hold on, bro.
All right, hold on.
We'll play it. We'll find it. We'll play it.
Look, because we've got 100 episodes, and I think this is a great time to bring up. This is our 100th episode of Game Dev Unchained. And of course, I'm so happy that Ray's here with us to celebrate.
Word.
But that's a lot of content to scrub through just to prove it. So if anyone in the audience recalls the episode where I was hyped,
it's gotta be the roundtable one. Yeah.
Yeah, please. I would love to play back the clip just so I can find own it. Up to
being
like nonchalant about it right now.
I have to find it. I have to. I seem to remember this. I could be wrong, but I seem to remember this.
The roles could have been reversed. You know, you would have been the hype one, and then Larry's the realist. And then I'm pretty sure we can play back the clip when you were like super Apple boy. So. That's how we gotta divide our eras of Game Dev Unchained is when when Ray loves Apple, when Ray loves Unity. Yeah,
I love Apple, bro. I still love Apple. Still.
Ray's career is like the timeline from our frog. Yeah, remember the 2K days? Remember the Apple days? No, not the Apple days. The Unity days was really when Game Dev Unchained was good.
Yeah, there we go. All right, there we go.
All right.
See us out. See us out, Larry.
Let's see. It's really hot even though it's night. Larry Shaw. Oh, shit. Good night.
This is Brandon Pfaff. Thank you for joining us. See you guys next week.
All right. Later.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to stay in touch or continue to follow our developments, then you need to go to facebook.com/GameDevUnchained and drop a like and stay in touch. You can also get the direct feed for this podcast on soundcloud.com/GameDevUnchained.